We continue to update you on the latest developments on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russian troops stormed toward Ukraine's capital early Saturday as explosions reverberated through the city of Kyiv, and the president urged the country to stand firm against the siege that could determine its future. He vowed to stay. The fight is here. Hundreds of casualties were reported in the fighting, which includes shelling that sliced through a Kyiv apartment building and pummeled bridges and schools. There were also growing signs that Russia may be seeking to overthrow Ukraine's government. Retired Army Lieutenant General Mark Hertling is a national security and military analyst for CNN. He tells Dmitry he does not believe that the Russian military will be able to capture Kyiv.
I think there's a very good possibility that there will be a lot of forces in and around Kyiv, but I don't think we're going to see the city itself fall. It's a very populated city. It's the largest city in Ukraine. They have a lot of high-rise buildings, which means for a force to really seize and secure it, there's got to be the capability of the enemy to clear buildings, to root out fighters, to go after not only uniformed army members, but anyone that might be participating in an insurgency. And I personally just don't think the Russian army, as it was boundared around Ukraine's borders for the last several months, has the strength, or what we would call in the military, the troop to task, to conduct the kinds of operations that would both seize and secure the city. They can certainly be in the city. They can certainly cause a lot of havoc, but they're not going to control the city, in my view.
And if they don't control the city, then this effort that we're learning about on behalf of Vladimir Putin to decapitate the government, do you think that is also more difficult?
Yeah, I think that would certainly be at risk. You know, what you're talking about is if their focal point is the capital, and if that is the only objective they have, which I know it isn't. They're coming from several different directions. It's been pointed out on all of the cable channels and through the intelligence released by the government that it seems to be a four-pronged course of action from Belarus into Kharkiv, the eastern course of action going through the two Donbas regions, and the southern course of action, which is actually split on two probes, the Sea of Azov approach and the Black Sea approach. That's an awful ambitious plan for a force of only 190,000 people. And when you're talking about that force of 190,000, that's not all fighters. There's certainly some logistics elements in that, and which brings up another point. Whenever you're talking about occupying an enemy country, especially one where the population and the government is wholeheartedly against this illegal Russian invasion, you're going to have to get into the center of the country, again, a country that is the size of the state of Texas, with your forces, and then you're going to have to be able to sustain logistics avenues as well to resupply your forces. Anyone can debate the plan, the operational plan, the tactical plan that the Russians have put together, but I don't think they've put a lot of effort into understanding the logistics requirements of supporting that plan.
One could never predict the future in any instance, but especially something this volatile then. If it plays out as you're describing, what happens then? Is it almost a standoff around Kyiv? A lot of fighting and a lot of death, but not the ultimate goal of Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, I think you're going to see, actually not just around Kyiv, but also around several other cities and around the border regions, you're going to see a continuous effort by Ukrainian forces to counter any Russian activity. In my view, they're very good fighters. They have a will to fight because they have a revamped and evolved force from the first time I saw them in 2004, very different than the Russian force, which I, as I pointed out in some of my writings, is not as good as some people make it out to be. And I also think primarily they have a just cause. They have a country that is behind them, a country that understands freedom, and they have the desire to fight for it. President Zelensky is increasingly appearing like an extremely inspirational president, a wartime president. And when you're a military force and you have the support of the government and the support of the population and a cause that you're feeling is right and that you want to fight for, it's very difficult to dislodge those kind of feelings from an organization like a Ukrainian army.
We are keeping in touch with an older gentleman, a retired journalist who is in Kyiv now fighting for his ancestral homeland. He says he has no military experience, but went to a police station today and was handed an AK-74 rifle. What do you make of that tactic to arm people that perhaps have never fired a gun in their lives.
It's sort of like the movie Red Dawn, isn't it? When government officials are handing out AK-47s or other type of weapons to civilians and saying, make your own Molotov cocktails. How ironic is that in a fight against Russia? It tells me that when people are stepping up and saying that they will do those things, that there is a common cause amongst the population. President Zelensky asked people from the ages of 18 to 60 yesterday to be prepared to fight for the country. And surprisingly, they're doing just that. So I think that speaks volumes about the potential for at least either an insurgency or a guerrilla war against any kind of attempted occupation by an illegal group of Russians by the direction of President Putin. You know, I spent a good part of my career in Europe. In my last couple of tours, I worked with the Ukrainian army and also saw demonstrations conducted and exercises conducted by the Russian army. We've got to stop believing that the Russian army is 10 feet tall. I've heard many journalists say what a first-rate military they are. They're not. We have seen that multiple times in the way they act in combat and in peacetime. And I just believe that the Ukrainian army has evolved over the last two decades to be a very patriotic and terrific fighting force. And I think we're going to see the two forces collide. And I believe in the long term, Ukraine is going to keep their freedom.
That is retired Army Lieutenant General Mark Hertling, a national security and military analyst for CNN. He joined us on Skype.